only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandments, and will not hearken unto the words and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage.
These people are ready to go. They said, whatever you command us to do, we're going to do. And whoever doesn't, we're going to take care of that situation. God gave the ultimate pep talk, if you want to say, to Joshua. And he's ready to go. He strengthened his heart. Then Joshua turned around and strengthened the people's hearts. They were ready to go. Now, on the flip side, if you want to say, what's the opposite, based on the information we just heard about what encouragement means, what's the opposite of encouragement? Yes. Someone read for us the impact for Joshua chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. Joshua chapter 2. Yes, sir. So we had an encouraging speech in chapter 1. And in chapter 2, we know the story of Rahab here. And she, through faith, said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to help these guys. But she talks about the people and how their hearts melted. They were discouraged from fighting against the children of Israel. They were scared, and rightfully so, because they saw what had happened to other nations. Can we get discouraged? Yeah. And what happens when we get discouraged? You lose your faith. I don't know how many of you guys have actually, you know, played sports or been in the military, anything of that nature. And especially like playing sports, thinking of track. Used to run track as a kid. And one thing that you would do, you know, that was really heartening to you, if you want to say, if you ran a kid down, if you want to say, and they called it taking that kid's heart, if you want to say, that kid would stop running, basically, even though they were still moving on the track. Their heart was gone. They had no more fight in them. In the military, the same thing. You can see the fight go out of your enemy. They're discouraged. They don't want to fight anymore. However, you can strengthen your heart and you can win the battle. You can win the war. It's all about the heart, whether you're strengthening your heart or your heart's being taken away from you. One way to strengthen your heart, we'll start here, having faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. A very simple verse that we hear all the time whenever we start the Lord's invitation about believing. So then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Excuse me, about hearing the word of God. This is, we hear it all the time, but it's really, really simple in the sense that the way you increase your faith is how? Hearing the word of God. The more you hear and read and study the word of God, your faith should increase. You should strengthen your heart. How Paul opened up the book of Romans in chapter 1. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. What is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes? To the Jews first, also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written. But the righteous man shall live by faith. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. The power of the gospel. That goes to salvation. Another way, strengthening, looking at God's word. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. This is very strengthening to my heart to know, and to my courage to know what the Word of God can do for me and for other people. It encourages us. And lastly, the point I wanted to raise as far as having faith, God is love. He's not doing this because he's mean. He wants to do, you know, just keep you under his thumb. He loves you. He's looking out for your best interest. And everything that he's doing from a spiritual perspective is for your best interest. God is love. And that's from 1 John chapter 4. So, point number two is strengthening your hearts. An encouragement here. The ease of understanding and the consistency of God's word. How does this concept strengthen our hearts? Absolutely. Something you can depend on. It's never going to change. It's a rock. Anyone else? Based on what Johnny just said, I was thinking along the same lines. It's easy to promote and easy to defend because it's consistent. It's always the same. And another point, if you look at the arguments that are made throughout the scriptures, they're logical. Just follow it. The ease of it also depends on if the person is truly seeking to, you know truth in their heart. But the consistency of God's word, it makes it so easy to defend. It also makes it easy to promote. Wherever you go, it's the same thing. You have to try to miss God's word. Someone has to help you not understand it. Or you can do it by yourself with your own heart. But someone can help you not understand what God's trying to promote. Yes, Dan. Dan talks about seeing the whole picture. He said it's like a puzzle. If you don't have enough of the pieces, it doesn't make sense. But the more you hear the word of God, read, study, the more pieces of the puzzle you have to put together, and it makes sense. And boy, the deeper you dig into God's word, it's you will never completely understand it, because the more you understand, the more you're going to want to dig into it, and the more mysteries you're going to understand as time goes on. Strengthening the young. I changed that from encouraging the young to strengthening. The responsibility starts at home. And I use from Psalms 127, verse 5. I just love this verse, so I wanted to stuck it here with the starts at home. The mindset of starting at home. Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward, like arrows in the hand of a warrior. So are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate. I thank God for my children all the time. Every day. My quiver has three arrows in it. Some of you guys have more. Some of you have less. Some of you might not have any. But man, what's that? Are too many. Larry said, are too many. But they're a gift of the Lord. Don't take them for granted. Don't take them for granted. So, encouraging the youth or strengthening the youth. How can the church help in this? Larry said the church's job is to reinforce and not raise. With that in mind, what can we do to help folks reinforce? Lily. Lily said checking in on other people's kids and things of that nature. And Ken, I think, paid her to make a plug for him to say Bush is really good at that. So, yeah. Yes. Johnny said, talk to them. And we're not just talking about the teenagers. You're talking the little folks as they're running by you. Say something to them. Mess with them. You know, have a good, let them know that they're loved. Anyone else? Our education program. So important. Have your kids here. Have your kids here for Sunday school on time. Make sure you have your kids here. There's so many things that they can learn, and those teachers take the time to, you know, put together wonderful lessons. Definitely. And also, if you're not participating in the youth group, please do that too. And not only that's a, I'm going to give a plug for the youth group in the sense of don't just drop your kids off. Be involved yourself. It's an opportunity for you to get involved with the youth also. So please, those are just a few things that we can do as a church to help reinforce what the parents are doing at home. Jim. Jim says sometimes the parents need encouragement too, in the sense that those words to help them to keep moving forward with raising their kids. That's actually a really, really good point. Encouraging the elderly. And I wanted to, you can see the sub-bullets are the same, but I didn't want to say the elderly are sick. I want to keep them separate. So encouraging the elderly and encouraging the sick, but just letting them know by stopping by, staying in contact with them all the time, all the time. And with the encouraging the sick piece, it's, like I said, the same two sub-bullets. I had an opportunity to go visit Anthony whenever he was having his heart transplant. I was encouraged just by being there with him. I was, you know, called myself being there to help out, you know, encourage them, keep the spirits up. That was one of the best times I've ever had in my life. I mean, because as Anthony's going off the surgery, he has his little blue hat on, you know, and he says, I'll be back with his Terminator voice. He's having a blast. And I'm like, wow, this is a wonderful time. And then, fortunately, they had us off in a section by ourselves because we were making a lot of noise. We had a blast. There were brethren from Southside, from the Piedmont Church, and people from here. And the kids were running all around. And actually, Anthony and his wife shared with us really what it's like being a Christian going into surgery. They had the greatest confidence. And that was really, really encouraging. That strengthened me. And side note, Charles Dawson right now, talk to him on the phone, text messages. Charles is he's having issues, you know, the side effects right now. But still, he has wonderful, you know, great spirits about what's going on. It's wonderful being a Christian. It really is, because you have a different mindset about so many things. Encouraging a new Christian. Be mindful they are young Christians. Remember that. And this is from 1 Corinthians 3:1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as infants in Christ. What's the significance of that statement in the sense of saying infants in Christ? Larry says sometimes you got to baby them a little bit. I looked at it from the standpoint of I can't expect a Christian, regardless of what their physical age is, someone who was just baptized, to know everything that I know. No way, shape, or form. Mike.
Yeah.
Mike said we have to ensure that we're watching out for them in everything that we do, whether it's the conversation, just our interaction with them. And, you know, the example I usually share with the high schoolers is I don't expect an infant to act like a 21-year-old. I don't expect an infant to jump up and just be running right out the gate. It doesn't work that way. You have to take the time and be patient with them and nurturing and things of that nature. And you can't bite their head off for things that they do immediately. You have to, let's just pick on someone who's 30 years old and was newly baptized. That person has spent 10 to 12 years of their adult life doing things. And that just doesn't go away overnight. Dottie? Dottie talked. I see you, Mike. Dottie used the example of the care that we have to take with an infant. And those of you who've had children, and the day you brought that child home, you were thinking about, you know, the blankets, the car seat, depending on if you had multiple, all the things that you really cared about, and making sure that diapers, everything that goes into having an infant. And I don't want to relive those days. But all of those things, the crying at night, but you jumped up the first, especially your first one. Everything that child did, you jumped up and just lost your mind. Now I'm thinking, my oldest fell down one day, and Sonova looked like a sprinter coming through the house with Monteith in her arms. We got to go to the emergency room. And he just fell. But that's the first one. And bless the ones who come after that, who, if you're not bleeding, hey, you know, you still got all your limbs, we'll just keep moving forward. Mike. Mike talks about how all things are possible and all things are not expedient. I hear you, Jack. But I want to tie that back to something Dottie just said a few minutes ago, in the sense of, you know, even having conversations around a new babe in Christ, even what Mike said at the beginning. There are just conversations you can't have in front of them. They're just not ready for it. They're just not ready for certain conversations. Jack, then David. Okay. David brings up, like in 1 Corinthians, where it talks about eating meat to idols, and there was nothing wrong with it, but there were people who had problems with it, so you don't do those things to make your brother stumble. Encouraging the overlooked. Who are the overlooked? Shy people? poor people, the aged, the widows. You know, it's the person sometimes that's here every single Sunday and they're just sitting there. And they're there every single Sunday. The author used the silent soldiers, the person who does the things that there's no hoopla about doing those things. People who are different than us, we have to strengthen them too. Every person in this auditorium, to include on Sundays, hey, we need to make sure that all of us are being looked at after. To a certain degree, that goes back to Ken's edification lesson. Please take the time to go back and listen to that, where he talked about it's not just the elder shepherd, the flock, but if you're looking for four guys to speak to every single person in here every single week, it's just not going to happen. We're brothers and sisters in Christ, and we need to be reaching out to one another. Encouraging the visitors. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. We never know who's walking through that door. We never, ever know who's walking through that door. Even the people who come here and look for a little help with whatever their needs happen to be, that get stuff from the pantry. Please take the time to talk to them. You might be the one that helps that person, you know, hear what God has to say to them. If it's someone new to the area who happens to be a member of the church, but they have no ties, we're it. That's where we really are the family. One thing I do appreciate about being here at Cary, in the sense of, in the triangle, if you want to say, this is a very transient place. We have people coming and going all the time. It's not like a congregation, you know, where the people were born there, they're going to be there, and they're going to die there. This is it. This Thanksgiving dinner that's coming up on Thanksgiving Day here, that's some people's family Thanksgiving, because you're it, or we're it. We're it. You know, it's nice you can travel to whatever state you're from or whatnot, but we're it. And I'm looking around and I'm seeing lots of states represented here. I took the time, you know, one time to go through how many states are that we're either from or we worked in. We pretty much have the continent, actually the United States covered, this congregation. We've been all over. The art of encouragement. Just this, the opening line there, encouragers are not born, they're made. It's an art. It takes time. You have to work at it to be an encourager. You want to help. You're not looking for accolades. You're doing it because you love them. Love people. They give to them. They give wholly of themselves and generously. And they want to build people up spiritually. And they're looking for moments to help where they can wholly support people. And they think of the kingdom and how to expand the borders. They want to uplift and prefer one another. Think not of themselves, but defer to the other. There is no set limit for how many can do it. It is simple enough when you get it right down to it. Just pick out somebody or two, five or ten, encourage them as often, and times without end. There's no time limit on encouraging people. You just got to keep doing it. It's a constant thing that's always going. It's always going. So our homework. Barnabas. The New American Standard calls him the son of encouragement. He was a supporter. He counseled people. And he always strengthened people. And that's what the apostles called him. The son of encouragement. The question for us is, can I be like Barnabas? And how can I? If not, how can I be like Barnabas? That's your homework. to think on those things, to improve yourself so you can be the person of encouragement. This is not something for your spouse or anything. This is something personal. You have to take your own personal inventory of this. So, in closing, the key thoughts again. Numeric growth rarely happens accidentally. Spiritual growth never happens accidentally. No Christian will ever grow nearer to Christ without making an effort. Every member of the local church is either working for the local church or against it. And lastly, we can be like the household of Stephanas, devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. And in this particular case, through encouragement. That concludes the lesson. If there aren't any other comments, we can close for the evening. Thank you for your time.
is. Bad hair. Pastels. Hair bands. Peg legs. Parachute pants. What decade was that? Nope. 80s, right? 1980s. I know you older ladies remember those hair days oh so well with Aquanet and all that stuff, right? What's that? That's left open to interpretation. I was a product of the 80s, I guess you could say. I was a teenager in high school in the 80s. And I had the parachute pants and the bad hair, the feathered hair and all that stuff. But yes, I did. And you're not going to get to see a picture. But one of the things when I was in high school was you were identified by the group that you hung out with. I don't know if it's the same way today in high school, but you had the skaters, and then you had the metal guys and the rockers and the potheads and all these different groups that you had, and that's the people who you were associated with, and that's the group you hung out with, so that was your identity, and that's who they knew that you were. It's a little bit different today for us, though, isn't it? Because who we identify with tells us who we love. And 1 Corinthians 6:17, Paul, in writing to the church at Corinth, said, "But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him." Paul also said in Philippians 2:5 that we are to have the mind of Christ, that we identify with the way that Christ is to think. So just as we had our groups in high school that we associated with, whatever friends we hung out with, or if you were a jock, or if you were one of the band people, whatever it was, that was your identity. That's who people knew who you were. Our identity now is in Christ, and that's how people identify us. And that's who we want to be associated with, right? We want to be identified as those that are in Christ Jesus. That's who we want people to understand who we are. So with that, the Bible says that's what our identity should represent. Not the clothes that you have or the type of hairdo that you're wearing or whatever the case is or music that you're listening to. Your identity is now in Christ Jesus. So if you're not associated with the identity of Christ, it's because you're not in Christ. But tonight you have the opportunity to be in Christ, to be added to the Lord's church, and he's going to do that for you, Acts 2:47. But it first comes with being obedient to the gospel, identifying and understanding what you must do to be saved by hearing the word, believing the word, repenting of your sins, confessing in Jesus Christ as your Savior, and being baptized to have your sins washed away, 1 Peter 3:21. That's what puts you into Christ. That's now your new identity. But also as Christians, we sometimes forget our identity and we stray away. But we can also come back and be identified again to say, this is the path I want to follow. So tonight you have the opportunity to identify, if you're not a Christian, to be in Christ, or to re-identify yourself as one who wants to follow Christ. So your opportunity is now, as together we stand and as we sing.
It's great to see everyone out for midweek Bible study. It's really a good Devo. Larissa, we need to talk about some pictures of those parachute pants. We're going to take up a collection if we have to get that picture. Yeah. Let's be mindful that our ladies' night out is coming up tomorrow evening, and it's going to be at 6 p.m. at Lucky 32. See Lori Gill or Sandy Leesburg for more information. Also, Saturday, Sanford is going to have its Ladies' Day, and the ladies here at the Piers are going to be riding together. You can sign up at the lady on the ladies' bulletin board, and Carol Osborne has more information for you ladies if you would like to participate in that. And also Saturday, we're going to have our fall fellowship and cookout here at the building. Floyd is asking the men to bring side dishes. The meat will be provided, and sign up on the men's bulletin board back in the near the mailboxes. And if you want more information, please see Floyd for more information about that. The ladies' heart-to-heart group, they're going to learn how to knit. And for those of you who would like to know how to knit more, that's going to be Monday, November the 12th, and Monday, December the 3rd. And you can see Karen Thompson, Linda Crute, or Catherine Phillips for more information on that. And as mentioned in class, there's going to be a Thanksgiving dinner here at the building for anyone who would like to participate. You can sign up to bring a dish or two, and they're going to have games that day too. And also, if you signed up to bring a red card in for Harvest Day, especially the turkeys, please bring them to the building no later than this Sunday. Place the turkeys in the upstairs kitchen freezer. We need all items as soon as possible because distribution is going to take place the following Sunday. So see Forrest for more information. And Saturday, November the 17th, our marriage couple fellowship is going to take place here at the building. Go to the table to sign up. There's a sign-up sheet there in the foyer. And for our prayers, let's remember Polly Estep. She's having rotator cuff surgery tomorrow. Also, our brother Emmett Smith, he's going in for a biopsy tomorrow. And let's remember him. And Chris Glover is having is scheduled for surgery on the 9th. And Christina Quinn has pneumonia. Debbie Snyder is recovering from her stay in the hospital. And Charles is undergoing his chemo. And also, let's remember those who were affected by the tropical storms, Florence and also Michael. And also, let's remember our sister Reba as she deals with her cancer, too. That concludes my announcements. Let's go to our Father in prayer as we close out. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity we've had to come together and study your word in our respective classes. We pray, Father, that we gleaned as much information as possible from each of our classes, that we will be able to be better Christians, better children to you. We thank you for the love that you share with us every single day. We thank you for you providing us with means of forgiveness of sin through your Son. We pray, Father, we will never take this gift for granted. We also ask you to be with our members who are having medical procedures or surgeries. We ask you to be with our sister Polly, Chris Glover, Christina, she recovers from her pneumonia, Debbie Snyder, who's out of the hospital, and also with Charles as he undergoes his chemo, and also our sister Reba, and also Emmett. We pray for success for favorable results for his biopsy. We love you, Father, for all that you've done. Please forgive us of our many sins. For it's in your Son's name we do pray. Amen.